fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first on Monday's show. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the South African football club Mamelodi Sundowns, which won the first ever CAF Women's Champions League trophy. Sundowns defeated Ghana's Hasakas Ladies 2-0 in the final in Cairo, Egypt. Sundown striker Andisiwe Emgakoi was named Woman of the Match. She assisted on the team's first goal in the 33rd minute by Chuwene Marifi, and Emgakoi herself scored the second goal in the 65th minute. Now, by winning the maiden CAF Women's Champions League trophy, Mamelodi Sundown shines brightly with a unique football achievement. The South African club becomes the first to win both the men's and women's CAF Champions League titles. Mamelodi Sundowns won the men's Champions League in 2016. For reaction to Mamelodi Sundowns winning the inaugural CAF Women's Champions League title, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African women's football writer Sam Amadu.
Yeah, well, I think it's a historic moment for Africa and women's football on the continent. So seeing how Mamelodi Sundowns did emerge champions of the continent and winning the first ever CAF Women's Champions League, and at the same time becoming the first team to also have done that without conceding a goal. I think it's a massive plus for the continent, also for South African women's football, and not just for South African women's football alone, and also for the COSAFA region. The Southern African region has been very, very up and doing in the development of women's football. So much activity in the last 4 or 5 years, and this has snowballed into reviving women's football in that region, and also engaging many of the domestic players who have also done pretty well, especially from the qualifiers going into the final tournament itself. So I think it shows how much development and investment South Africa has also input in women's football. And the same thing with the COSAFA region, complementing each other on all fronts. I think it's massive what Mamelodi Sundowns did achieved. They seem to have a very good structure, seem to have almost everything going well for them. But for the other regions, West African regions, where you have Nigeria, Rivers Angels, and also Ghana's Hasakas, they did pretty well, but unfortunately, they came short a bit of experience, a bit of quality going up against Mamelodi Sundowns.
8 teams took part in the inaugural edition of the CAF Women's Champions League, including Nigeria's Rivers Angels. Do you think the teams lived up to expectations?
Yeah, well, L team came into the tournament, and no doubt, definitely a winner has to emerge, and which was in Mamelodi Sundowns, and I think they deservedly did earn the trophy. But looking at all the other teams, I wouldn't say any team are really disappointed, except for possibly Rivers Angels, who were practically glaring. They were one of the favorites, key favorites, understanding the fact that Nigeria has been a dominant force on the continent, winning the African Women's Cup of Nations 9 times in 11 outings. And I think it was surprising to see how well they fall short this time, not even getting out of the group stages. But looking through their travel, arriving in the tournament less than 18 hours to their opening match, you know, it's obviously shows there were a lot of things wrong administratively in their preparations and also in the way they really planned out for the tournament. But unfortunately, that's a competition for you, and you never could expect anything go smoothly when you have such a rough planning or preparations going into such a massive campaign. And I think it's disappointing the league being torn up when they needed them most. But, well, they did bow out on a high, winning 4-0 against Vihiga Queens of Kenya. But I think there were one side that really didn't live up to expectations. But for the others, I think we must give credit to those teams. Malabo Kings were impressive. The other sides teams like Asfar of Morocco finishing third, I think they really showed great character. They were one of the most organized sides besides Hazakas and also Amalo Sanders who won. I think Asfar of Morocco really were one fantastic side, and it has shown the huge investments Moroccans has made also in a short time to develop women's football and also put up the right structure to improve the standard of the women's game in the country. So we must give massive credit to all the countries. We've seen a lot they've done. Hazakas ladies for me, and being from the West African region, I understand it's a private team who also had to rely on donations to come to the tournament. You know, it's quite uneasy doing such and also achieving what they've achieved, coming through to the final, scoring a massive 10 goals onto the competition, and also producing the woman of the tournament in Evelyn Badu and the player of the tournament too, and the top scorer of the tournament, 5 goals. I think it shows there's so much potential across the continent. And I think for the teams that really couldn't get to the tournament, definitely they will be looking out to really push harder to come through next edition. So, but for the moment, I think we have to give credit to all the teams that managed to go through, at least finishing top at their various regions and getting to make the final 8. And for the Sundowns winners, who are winners of the inaugural event, I think they were truly deserving of that feat. And it's unbelievable. They've not lost in 2 years. And I feel it wasn't a surprise. We've seen what South Africa did at the Aisha Buhari Cup, beating West African teams in Ghana and Nigeria. And now they did a repeat at the CAF Women's Champions League, beating Nigeria's Rivers Angels and Hazakas Ladies of Ghana. This speaks volumes about the positive shift, potential shift of improvement in women's football to the Southern African region, most importantly to South Africa. And, you know, it also gave everyone an insight of what could possibly come through the next 7 or 8 months at the Women's African Cup of Nations in Morocco.
Do you also think that the CAF Women's Champions League will boost women football in the continent?
Yeah, it's definitely no argument. A lot of improvements has been made in the women's game, and credits to CAF, even though we had to wait for more than 30 years of Nigeria competing in the first ever Women's World Cup to have achieved this feat. But again, we would definitely have to start slowly and steadily to hope that the game continues to improve across the continent. And at least for this start, even though it's a one-off tournament, which is pretty different from what we've seen with the men, where you see teams traveling home on the way with the kind of format that has been put up. But for this, I think it's a good start. It's a good start for the women's game. Our eyes are open to seeing that, yes, there are practically more quality on all regions of the continent than what we see at the national team level. Now, at the club level, it's a good exposure for the girls. We've seen at the coverage world over, we've seen the massive exposure the tournament did enjoy. And again, for every African child, girl child, that would dream big to play at the global stage, and also for them that have gained that visibility that we've seen, definitely we know it's a big market that's open for African players to move straight to top teams in Europe and also possibly Asia, where they also gain massive football breakthrough. So I think it's a great progress, a milestone. Is a historic moment that we definitely have to celebrate and be glad that has also come through. Many players, many teams have really aspired to see this possible. And I think it's a great credit to all the stakeholders of women's football across Africa. And we hope this is just the beginning of many great things to come.
That's Sam Amadu, an African women's football writer. And Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Washington Spirit, which defeated the Chicago Red Stars 2-1 in extra time in the southern U.S. city of Louisville, Kentucky, to win its first National Women's Soccer League title. Kelly O'Hara, a veteran defender for the U.S. Women's National Team, scored the winning goal in the 97th minute. And Washington goalkeeper Aubrey Bledsoe was named the championship game's most valuable player. The Washington Post newspaper had the headline, Indomitable Spirit, to describe the team's National Women's Soccer League title. The Spirit showed its indomitable spirit after a season that involved coaching and ownership turmoil, a league investigation, and two forfeits for violating COVID-19 protocols. Once again, the Washington Spirit wins the National Women's Soccer League trophy here in the USA, and Mamelodi Sundowns wins the CAF Women's Champions League trophy in Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa as we discuss the return of Africa's stolen art. France repatriated 26 looted colonial-era artifacts to Benin. Now museums in Europe and the U.S. are rethinking what to do with their African art collections. We'll discuss art restitution and reparations. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with a big roundup of the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian superstar Mo Salah, Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane, forward Takumi Minamino and Diogo Jota all recorded their names on the score sheet as Liverpool cruised to a 4-0 win over Arsenal at Anfield. The Reds moved up to third place in the Premier League table, just 4 points behind leaders Chelsea. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp commended his team's performance.
It was an exceptional performance, I have to say. We grew into the game. We got better and better and better and controlled the game then in a really good way and played then really some exciting stuff in the right moments. So it was a mix of a very mature performance and a very exciting performance. And so the result is the result. I think it's not important if you score three or four in games like this. It's just important that you keep the opponent as far away from your own goal as possible, control the game there, and then be really ruthless in a decisive area. That's what we were, and that's why we won.
There was Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp's glowing report after his team's victory against the Gunners. Saturday's defeat ended Arsenal's 10-game unbeaten run. But West Ham's 1-0 defeat at the hands of Wolverhampton Wanderers ensured the Gunners remain 3 points outside of the Champions League places. Here's Arsenal's manager Mikel Arteta's reaction after his team's humiliating defeat.
The first half, it was a very competitive half. We were in the game. They had moments. We had moments. We got a goal disallowed. And we competed well. We conceded an asset. Our 1-0, we go to halftime. And then that's the moment we had to be patient and start to build the game again in our favor. And we did completely the opposite. The first 15, 20 minutes, we just crashed. We started to give the ball away in the first 25 meters of our build-up phase against the best team in the world in short counters. And then that's why we lost the game, because the rest is just a consequence of frustration, having to chase the game and leave open spaces, lose all the compactness that we had in the first half. And when you have to defend open spaces with them, you know that that they're going to punish you.
Goals from Senegalese forward Ismail Assar, Joshua King, João Pedro and Nigerian striker Emmanuel Dennis proved enough to down Manchester United 4-1, prompting the Old Trafford-based outfit to part ways with their manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. The 48-year-old Norwegian recently signed a 3-year contract extension until 2024, but was fired after the Red Devils lost 5 of their last 7 league games, including defeats by Manchester City, Liverpool, Aston Villa and Leicester City. Here's the outgoing manager's farewell interview just after leaving Manchester United, and it's playing courtesy of Manchester United TV.
I think everyone knows I've given everything for this club. The club means everything to me. And together we're a good match. But unfortunately, I couldn't get the results that we needed. And it's time for me to step aside.
Solskjaer played as a striker for Manchester United from 1996 to 2007. And is most remembered for scoring the last-minute winning goal during the 1999 Champions League final against Bayern Munich. In another fixture, Chelsea thumped struggling Leicester City 3-0 at the King Power Stadium, courtesy of goals by German footballer of Sierra Leonean descent Antonio Rudiger, French star of Malian descent N'Golo Kante, and American playmaker Christian Pulisic. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel was pleased by the team's outstanding display.
I think we played a good game, a good away game, and have an excellent result. It's a good mixture. We created a lot of chances and half chances. We're a bit unlucky with the offside decision. That's sometimes it, but like I said before, I'm happy if we create and never stop to create. And was the key, we need to be strong from first to last minute. This is what we did. I'm happy with the effort and the quality. It was a deserved win.
That's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel's reaction to his side's win over Leicester City. The Blues remained at the top of the Premier League, 3 points above second-place Manchester City, who earned a comfortable 3-0 win over Everton in a match that was played at the Etihad Stadium. English striker of Jamaican descent Raheem Sterling secured the first goal for the Citizens before Rodri's thunderous strike and Bernardo Silva's 50th Premier League goal sealed the deal. Here's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola after his team's impressive win.
We played a game with this type of opponents, the game we should play. Be patient, but at the same time get rhythm. So urgency in the first step to the keeper, to join that structure, and have to be patient. And being that there was 0-0 is a good result. Don't worry, we have time. Don't make a mistake behind like we have done in the first goal against Crystal Palace and send off. So be patient, and the right moment arrives. Sometimes arrive 43 minutes, sometimes arrive earlier. But it was a really good performance against one of the best managers in the world, setting his team cozy deep and well organized and defending really well.
There was Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola reacting to his team's win over Everton. Goals from Pierre-Emile Højbjerg and Sergio Reguilón helped Tottenham Hotspur sink Leeds United 2-1, handing new manager Antonio Conte his first win in the Premier League this season. Moving on to the French League, six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi scored his first French League goal as 10-man Paris Saint-Germain and a 3-1 win over Nantes to move 11 points clear at the top of the table. French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe gave PSG an early lead, but the visitors level courtesy of a French player of Congolese descent Randall Colomwani's back heel. French footballer of Ghanaian descent Denis Appiah's own goal and Messi's thunderous strike sealed the win for the Parisians. French footballer of Algerian descent Amine Gouiri registered a double as Nice earned the 2-1 win against Clermont to move to second place in the French league, while the match between Lyon and Marseille was suspended by match officials until further notice after a water bottle was thrown at French midfielder Dimitri Payet in the early stages of the game. Defending champions Lille also earned a 2-2 draw against Monaco to move 12th in the table. Moving on to Spain, Brazilian sensation Vinicius Jr. scored his 10th goal of the season as Real Madrid thumped Granada 4-1 to regain their position at the top of La Liga. Marco Asensio and Nacho Fernandez also scored before Ferlan Mendy made it 4 to seal Madrid's win. Xavi also earned his first win as Barcelona coach after guiding the team to a 1-0 win against Espanyol at Camp Nou, ending a run of 4 games without a win in La Liga. Spanish footballer of Guinea-Bissauan descent Ansu Fati, French footballer of Mauritanian descent Ousmane Dembele, Sergio Aguero and Martin Braithwaite were all missing from the squad after sustaining injuries. In another fixture, Felipe scored a late winner for Atletico Madrid to help them seal a 1-0 win against Osasuna, while Sevilla secured a 2-2 draw against Alavés. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Just ahead, Samson Omale will tell us about a world record run by a Ugandan athlete.
In Lisbon, Portugal, Ugandan Jacob Kiplimo broke the half marathon world record on Sunday with a time of 57 minutes, 31 seconds. The world half marathon champion, Jacob Kiplimo, won Sunday's race by over 2 minutes and took 1 second off the previous world best established by Kenya's Kibwat Kandi in Valencia last year.
For me, I'm not often. I'm very often. The course was nice. Just one of the fastest 3 kilometers. Well, the win was too much, but I did my best.
Staying with athletics, Kenya is among five other athletics federations across six continents that has been nominated for the 2021 World Athletics Member Federation Award. The winner will be announced at the 2021 World Athletics Awards to be held virtually on December the 1st. Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tui is confident that his federation will back the 2021 World Athletics Member Federation Award, considering the fact that the country has done better than the other five other nominees in terms of organization and delivery this year, despite the huge challenge posed by COVID-19 pandemic.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. Getting back to that world record run by Jacob Kiplimo in Portugal, well, I think it's okay to describe it as a belated birthday present. Jacob celebrated his 21st birthday on November 14th. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember Jacob Kiplimo won a bronze medal for Uganda at 10,000 meters at this year's Tokyo Olympics.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In marking its 75th anniversary, the development of the National Basketball Association reflects some social changes that have happened since 1946. The AP's Norman Hall tells us more.
NBA Hall of Famer Wayne Embry, who played 11 years starting in the late 1950s, says the 60s were traumatic because of racial tensions. Celtics legend Bill Russell was a social justice activist, but Embry says the few black players in the league were at risk.
When you're on non-guaranteed contracts, if ownership didn't like what you were doing or management didn't like what you were doing, you were gone.
Embry, who won an NBA title with Boston in 1968, says opportunities for all black pro athletes expanded because the integrated Celtic lineup started racking up championships.
Other sports saw that happening and jumped on board.
Embry joined the front office of the Milwaukee Bucks in 1971 when he became the league's first black general manager. He remains upbeat about the NBA.
The times are getting better. Keep getting better each year.
I'm Norman Hall.
Thanks, Norman. In NBA action Sunday, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James was ejected in the third quarter after he bloodied the face of Detroit Pistons center Isaiah Stewart. LeBron was sent to the locker room after the incident, which occurred as he and Stewart battled for a rebound. Stewart had blood streaming from his eye, and he had to be held back by multiple staff members as he tried to confront James on several occasions. Stewart also was tossed from the game. After things cooled down on the court, The Lakers went on to beat the host Pistons 121-116. The Lakers now have a record of 9 wins and 9 losses, while the Pistons have 4 victories and 12 defeats. In Sunday's other NBA results, the Chicago Bulls beat the visiting New York Knicks 109-103. The Los Angeles Clippers defeated the visiting Dallas Mavericks 97-91. The host Phoenix Suns routed the Denver Nuggets 126-97. And in San Francisco, California, the Golden State Warriors clipped the wings of the Toronto Raptors 119-104. The Warriors have the NBA's best record at 15 wins and 2 losses. The Raptors, meanwhile, have 8 victories and 10 defeats.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Masai. In more NBA news, the Sacramento Kings have fired head coach Luke Walton and named assistant Alvin Gentry as the interim coach. The 41-year-old Walton is the first NBA coach to get the boot this season. The Kings currently have a record of 6 wins and 11 losses, placing them 12th in the NBA's Western Conference. Luke Walton is the son of Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Walton. Meanwhile, 67-year-old interim coach Alvin Gentry has been a coach in the NBA for the past 30 years.
Voice of America!
The Arizona Cardinals beat the Seattle Seahawks Sunday for their National Football League best 9th victory of the season. The AP's Jim Bernard reports from the northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington.
Colt McCoy threw 2 touchdown passes as the Arizona Cardinals beat the Seattle Seahawks 23-13. McCoy, subbing for the injured Kyler Murray for the 3rd consecutive game, completed 35 of 44 passes for 328 yards. The Cardinals have gone 2-1 in his relief starts.
I'm just glad to step up and play and be a part of a really special team, right? Special coaches, just a special group of guys. And this isn't about me. That was a big team win for all of us.
Zach Ertz caught 8 passes for 88 yards and was on the receiving end of both of McCoy's scoring strikes as the Cardinals raised the record to a league best 9-2. Jim Bernard, Seattle.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, Germany's Alexander Zverev won the ATP Finals title on Sunday in Turin, Italy. World number 3 Zverev defeated world number 2 Daniil Medvedev of Russia in the final 6-4 and 6-4. And Zverev eliminated world number 1 Novak Djokovic in the semifinals on his way to the trophy. The title in Turin culminates an excellent year for Zverev, who also won the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics and finished 2021 with the most wins on tour, 59 of any player. Still with tennis, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Billie Jean King, who's regarded as one of the greatest women's players of all time. Billie Jean is celebrating her 78th birthday on this Monday. Among her achievements, 12 Grand Slam singles titles, 16 Grand Slam doubles titles, recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and in New York City, the U.S. Tennis Association's Billie Jean King National Tennis Center, the home of the U.S. Open, is named after her. Happy 78th birthday, Billie Jean King. And that wraps up the November 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.